If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced. It's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to Star Wars and Scotch, episode 175. We're going to be talking about episode 4 of The Acolyte today and a few other things, but I'm here. It's Kevin, it's Tim, and how are you?
If it wasn't Kevin. It's like, hello, it's Pierre and John.
Well, I mean, we could do that April of next year.
I hate April different fools. People.
It used to be funny back in the day. It's just not funny anymore. Is that because we're adults or has the joke?
No, it's because the brands just keep pushing it further and further and further. I think that's the problem.
I remember when World of Warcraft announced they were going to have a bard class on April Fools, and they just made the whole thing look like Guitar Hero. That was hilarious.
Titanfall did one where they said Optimus Prime was going to be an in-game playable Titan.
That's awesome.
That's still like one that like just is in my brain and I won't forget because that really hurt.
Because you wanted Optimus Prime.
Because I wanted it so badly.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways. Anyway. Well, one thing that I crave every day is King's Coast coffee.
Ha ha!
Look at that segue. Holy shit. I'm a goddamn professional.
Well, I have my King's Coast coffee. Here it is.
Yep, I too. Guess what's in here? That's right, Kevin. Bowbreaker, one of our favorite espresso roasts. We might serve it in the cafe. I know we serve Countach a lot in the cafe, but Bowbreaker is also another awesome espresso roast that we serve. It's awesome. I love it. I drink it almost every day. So you too should head over to kingscoastcoffee.com and get yourself some Bowbreaker or Darkness Blend. I autographed a bunch of bags and they're getting sent back over to King's Coast. So if you are a connoisseur of the Darkness Blend, you might end up with a bag autographed by yours truly. And if you don't give a shit, then, you know, that's fine too. Just order some King's Coast coffee.
There you go. KingsCoastCoffee.com. GCX is right around the corner. No hotel options at the moment. We're working on an alternative there for you. So stay tuned. But tickets are still available. You can go to gcxevent.com, grab your tickets, meet your favorite creators, hang out, do some panels, maybe play some video games, Maybe there's some sort of competition this year to play some video games with some of your favorite creators. Who knows what the future holds, but you'll know in a few weeks. Not even. GCXEvent.com.
.com.
I'll start off with this.
Okay.
This comes from Games Radar.
Oh, God. Because
Tim's really excited. Dave Filoni says an R-rated Star Wars movie is, quote, interesting, but he has a caveat.
What? Star Wars is for kids.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting, Filoni commented on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast. The bottom line is whatever we do, it has to be really well done. I think when you look at something that is taken as different, like Andor, it's so well done. And Tony Gilroy and his team do such a phenomenal job that I think there's an audience for that. I think also with that audience, he says also a lot. I also, though, want to, that feels poorly transcribed, still be hitting the imagination of the kids out there so that they can grow up and appreciate those things. Star Wars encompasses all types of styles, and the creative of the particular story driving it is the most important thing. And they should do something that's within their comfort zone. Otherwise, we're to imagine that everyone's going to come in and pretend they're George Lucas. End quote.
Okay.
So his caveat is that it has to fit into the story. It has to be done right. And I find it interesting.
Inspire children.
Yeah, because they're the future. They get their marketing initiative is to make you a fan for life.
In the words of Michael Jordan, them kids.
I did like his little dig at the end there of people coming in and pretending they're George Lucas, because I think that's a dig at the way fans are treating some of the current Star Wars content and being like
some content creators out there who should just shut up.
This is vomiting in the face of George Lucas, who, by the way, still, he doesn't have creative control, but he has creative input on Star Wars projects. Learned about that.
He even said recently that he really likes where Star Wars is going. And he says that everyone making Star Wars content has been really impressive. And
he said that Dave and Leslie and all of the other showrunners are like, it's like watching his kids make movies about his universe. This is all stuff you can find online. So, I mean, you all can, I won't say you all, but the contingency of folks want to keep speaking for him, be my guest, but I'm watching what he's saying. But hey, you do you. He did confirm, too, that he is working on Ahsoka Season 2, and he has the opening sequence of his Heir to the Empire movie done. So he's more focused on Ahsoka Season 2 than he is Heir to the Empire. So
good, because it should take a while for us to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got more story to tell.
We have more Mando. We have more Ahsoka.
We think we have more Mando. It hasn't been confirmed yet. Those are all rumors.
Nah, we got more Mando coming.
Book of Boba Fett season. No, that's not happening, Chad. Don't worry.
No. As much as I liked it, don't do that.
Speaking of showrunners, not really, more directors. Bryce Dallas Howard is directing Skeleton Crew,
which I love,
and a potential new Star Wars film.
What do you mean by film? Like movie?
Like a movie?
Oh,
she's on the docket to direct a new Star Wars movie.
I'm excited for that. What do you think it would be about?
I don't know. They're all over the place right now. I can't really pinpoint.
It's not what they're going to be like the new trilogy, is it? I think it'd be an ancillary show.
The only way they're going to do a new trilogy if it's Old Republic. Like, they've already said this Rey movie is not a trilogy.
Rey?
We're done telling the Rey movie.
Rey?
No, what? You don't remember that one?
No. That's the line from Episode 7. Obi-Wan. Ray? Sorry.
You kept saying it. I was like, I know. Does he not remember?
Well, he's like, what? And I was like, oh, let me try again.
What?
Huh?
Stone Cold back in the day. What?
What?
What? So I don't think we'll see another trilogy unless it's like Revan or some iconic character that deserves their own trilogy. We'll definitely character that gets 9 movies, but
we'll do 3 movies about all the dead Skywalkers. it'll be the happy reunion. Padme somehow ends up in the Living Force, and it'll be Luke and Leia, Anakin, Padme, and it'll be like a whole like they go on vacation and stuff. It'll be a Christmas vacation with the Skywalkers.
But it's not the Skywalker saga. It's the Palpatine saga. That's really who it's about. Am I wrong?
Why do you have to ruin my happiness?
But isn't it the Palpatine saga?
They're not Palpatines.
There's a Palpatine in every movie.
Yeah, I know, but I want to see what it would be like to see like their happy little family. There's okay, so Kyler has these Star Wars books that is like Darth Vader takes the kids to like a carnival. Mm-hmm. It's like this like weird, like obscure, like just like happy go lucky Star Wars. But it was like, what if give him the chance? That's why I'm really excited about this whole what if thing with Star Wars with Lego.
I like the book too, because it's not Anakin taking the kids to the carnival.
No, it's Darth Vader.
It's Darth Vader taking the kids to the carnival. We have the book too. That's the funniest part. Is yeah, it's like, really oh no, it's the bad guy, Dad. Well, I mean, for was it Battlefront 3? We were supposed to get alternate,
yeah,
like, versions.
We were talking about that. Yeah,
we're supposed to get like Dark Mace and redeemed Vader.
But did you see the evil Millennium Falcon for Lego?
No.
Oh yeah, Kevin. Someone tagged us on Twitter. Sorry, X.
X gonna give it to you. When was this tag?
Yesterday.
Oh, that's probably why I haven't been on Twitter.
They showed off. They showed off all like the what if Lego sets, like you know, like Darth Jar Jar.
Oh.
There's Beach Luke. Yeah, Beach Luke is a vibe.
I would build that.
Right? Yeah, the Dark Millennium Falcon seems really interesting. It's like it's the Millennium Falcon in First Order paint. Isn't that neat?
C-3PO is a bounty hunter? That actually
sounds... isn't that cool?
Oh,
he'd be terrible at chasing people down because he doesn't run ever.
We knew about Darth Jar Jar. Darth Rey. Interesting.
Beach Luke. I don't know what happens with Luke and why he ends up at the beach. I guess instead of going to Octo, he ends up on Malibu.
Yeah. Maybe he goes to Jakku.
That's a desert.
What am I thinking of? Not Jakku. Scarif is what I meant.
Oh.
Ooh.
I wouldn't recommend going there.
Well, in alternate universe, it might be a beach resort.
Yeah, but I mean, like, didn't the Death Star blow it up?
In alternate universe, it might still be there. And oh, be like
true.
A Star Wars beach resort.
It could. Yeah. Or it could be that one place that Andor went to that got him when he got arrested. Whatever that, like Space Florida.
Oh, yeah, Space Florida. I didn't like Space Florida.
No, because all like, it looked just like Florida. Like all the aliens were all pruny and like smoking cigarettes.
The funniest part was they filmed that in England.
Yeah, it looked like Space Florida.
And I was like, how'd you make England look like Florida of all places? But yeah, I would be very happy for Bryce Dallas Howard to direct a movie, depending on what it was about. But gives me a little bit more confidence in Skeleton Crew because
she's
a wonderful director and she's amazing. Done a lot of Star Wars already. But
she crushes every episode.
My problem with Skeleton Crew is I just don't know what it's about. And I don't understand the plot. And I mean, yeah, I've seen the synopsis, but I don't get it. I don't get where it lands in all of Star. Of course, I'm
I don't
gonna
think
watch
it matters.
It.
I think what it is it could just be a story, much like Star Wars Outlaws, where it could just be a story that takes place in the Star Wars universe. It could just like it, we could just be expanding like out into just normal stories of people that are normal, that don't have a lightsaber, they don't have some connection to the Force other than like they've heard of the Jedi. Or like they may have like read about the Force or like you know, bumped into a monk or whatever. But like for the most part, like there are so many other facets to the Star Wars universe that I think you could really like take advantage of, especially like in the sci-fi universe as a whole. Like when it comes to like I like sci-fi horror and I it's really cool to see like more sci-fi horror starting to like show back up. I would love to see more of that in like this, like what would a sci-fi horror movie look like in Star Wars? Like that would be cool to me. And I think like if you expand on that and you use the Star Wars universe as just like a setting and then you tell more interesting stories about people you've never heard of, but just still using a lot of the material from Star Wars, you know, i.e. planets, ships, robots, alien species, like all of that, you still have a good Star Wars show. It's just not what you're used to.
I would see Alien Romulus in the theater, by the way.
Yeah.
Alien is one of my favorite.
I love
Aliens is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Aliens is solid.
And I don't like horror movies. But Jaws and Aliens, I don't know why.
Oh, because like the 80s sci-fi horror was solid.
I also like Event Horizon, and that's one of the most terrifying movies ever made. You don't know Event Horizon?
I wouldn't expect you to go see Event Horizon.
I did. I saw it in the theater, and I was scared shitless and couldn't sleep that night.
Oh, I see where Hunter gets.
And then
it from.
We got the DVD, and then my buddy was like, "Oh, look at this!" and the hell scenes, and slowed it down. And I was like, "I don't think I should be watching this." Mm-hmm. Couldn't sleep that night either. It's all burned in my memory. It's like, yeah, I guess I like sci-fi horror to an extent. Although Jason X was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh. Just bad horror. That's horror on the sci-fi channel.
That is the space one, right? Jason X? I'm pretty sure that's the space one. Right? Has the hockey, where the weird hockey mask. Well, he always has a hockey mask, but pretty sure that's Jason X. I don't know. Anyway, back to it. So yeah, we'll see. Skeleton Crew is December, I believe. So we'll see.
Oh yeah, we actually got a release for this year.
I believe it's December.
I like Star Wars around the holidays. That was fun.
It says first episode air date 2024 still. So maybe not official, just rumored, but I remember hearing December somewhere.
All right.
Guess what's getting a sequel?
Oh shit.
It's Spaceballs.
Really?
Josh,
is it the search for more gold or whatever they were going to call it?
The search for more money. I really hope so. Josh Gad posted an Instagram pic of a redacted script and said, "Just hand in a film script that I think may be the funniest and best thing I've ever worked on. And I'm so freaking excited working with my boys." He names them. "Has been heaven on earth and many other planets. Love you all." So this is from Star Wars News Net. Every now and then we like throw a curveball at our readers and cover something that isn't strictly about Star Wars. Spaceballs is getting a sequel. Jeff Snyder with major report on his newsletter with Major Hollywood Trades later backing up the scoop that Amazon MGM Studios is in the early stages of prepping a new Spaceballs movie with Mel Brooks returning to produce. The guy's in his mid 90s.
I know, dude. I'm just waiting for the day where like rest in peace. Like it's.
I'll be sad.
Yeah, most definitely, sad. Dude.
He is responsible for so many laughs in my younger years. Yeah. Mel Brooks returning to produce and Josh Gad producing and co-writing and starring in it.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. He's fantastic. There's the writing partners for this is Samet and Hernandez are known for their work on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, Mutant Mayhem, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, Addams Family 2, and the forthcoming Disney Plus Lucasfilm special Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy. This is going to be solid. Those are all great movies.
Detective Pikachu was a really cute movie. I
thought it was great.
Theater with Hunter.
It was very fun.
It was a really cute movie. And I'm not a Pokemon guy, and I enjoyed that movie. It might have been Ryan Reynolds, so I have a huge crush on him.
Great.
Huge man crush. Spaceballs came out in 1987, directed and written by Mel Brooks. It wasn't an immediate hit with critics, like all of his movies. Yet over the years, it earned a cult-like status. Because it was not made for the adults of that time. It was made for like my generation and Tim's generation as we grew up. We think it's funny. I watched it, I want to say a year and a half, 2 years ago. Still holds up. It's still freaking hilarious.
Yep.
I die laughing in the beginning during the wedding scene every time when he's like, "As we witness Princess Vespa walking up the aisle and down the back door. About the back door." Your brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, roommate. What does that make us? Absolutely nothing, which is what you're about to become. I could do this all day.
As big as mine.
I could do this all day, but we're not going to. I am excited. I love Josh Gad. I think he pours himself into whatever he does. If anyone could pull off live action LeFou, it was Josh Gad, and he did it perfectly in the Beauty and the Beast movie.
Yep.
He slays it as Olaf. I trust him with this project. I'm sure it's fun for him. He's done some more adult projects, so I'm sure it's going to be fun for him to do this. But and he seems excited. And there's nothing you want more than someone who's excited to make the content they're working on. Because if you don't, you get things like Rings of Power.
don't worry, Kevin. Season 2 will be better.
I am interested in season two. They sold me on the what are potentially the whites and a few other things, and I'm hoping they can pull more content. And I do have grace for that show because I blame the Tolkien estate for not giving them the rights that they need to make the right show. But that's a conversation for another day and another podcast. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back and talk about episode 4 of Acolyte.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Tim, it's time to talk about Darth Teeth.
I like his mask.
I know you do.
It looks really, it's perfect for a horror murder mystery.
He looks like he's smiling.
Yeah, the killer should look unhinged, and he looks unhinged. Looks neat. Looks like he made it himself. I like
that. Because I pulled Screen Rant's Easter eggs, and that was number one, was the helmet as a common Sith tradition.
Oh.
At first, I thought the helmets existed in Sith lore because people were injured and needed like rebreathers and things of that nature, like
sure.
Anakin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over time, I've come to learn that I think they just A, think it looks cool, which
yeah, it's edgy.
It does. And B, I think it was to hide their identity a lot of the time.
Sure. Because as we can see in this episode, this person is someone who's been under our noses the whole time.
Oh, we're so shocked. Look, if you think that this is the big reveal in the entire show.
Yeah.
In episode 5, potentially you could say episode 4, because I think when we watch it back, it'll be painfully obvious. But the things he was saying, he wouldn't say, he would mistakenly say I while he was walking the trail with May. It was almost like they wanted you to know that this was coming the entire time. And then I wake up this morning and see articles about the same thing we discussed about like, oh, the hidden identity, you know, is a letdown. I'm like, he's the apprentice. He's not the master.
Right.
And he is not the big reveal in the
show.
No,
he's just a puppet.
Yeah. As this is what the Sith do. So he has his acolyte, who's May. Yeah. It's everything we said. Everything we said so far is happening.
Yep.
He's training his apprentice. Mm-hmm. She goes off the rails and says, I'm going to turn myself into the Jedi. He's like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably going to try and kill her and get a new one.
I'm surprised. I know plot armor and stuff, but I'm surprised he just didn't like force choke her when he got flipped upside down.
Plot armor. Well, I think
that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand why. As just like, why wasn't that like the big thing where he just like crushes her?
Because I believe the plan was at that point he needed to frame her and kill Naka.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it,
but just any idiot's gonna see that's a lightsaber wound and May is not carrying a lightsaber,
right? Exactly.
May. So I mean, it's literally smoking when she
yeah, that's what. Well, and then she's like, he's here, and like, how else did he get there? Did he stow away on the ship? I don't think so.
Well, he has force levitation, which is from Legends.
It's terrifying. He just comes in like a ghost.
So we were talking about this in I have a spoiler channel in my Discord where, you know, when a show goes live, the people that are eager to talk about it can hop in and talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
So we were talking about it last night and someone was like, how did he have enough time to do that? And we were talking about how the time it took the tracker, like that whole scene where she fell and was the tracker was screaming for them. There's probably a couple minutes there because the second she leaves, he's going to cut himself down. Right.
Yeah.
He's obviously has Sith assassin skills because he can move very quietly. So I'm sure he just doop 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 around them. when they weren't looking and engaged, went in there, sliced him in the chest, walked out the same way he came in when everyone was, in, you know, doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then walked back around them and then was like, I'm going to float down to you like Homelander. So, again, it adds up pretty easily. It's not hard to figure out.
Yeah.
I adored the shock on their face when he ignited his lightsaber. Because at this point, you have to understand, these are just legends to these kids. They've never... It's like the whispers of the boogeyman in the corner to these you know, Padawans and Knights.
Yeah.
No one's seen a Sith. They're literally in, what, 3-4 scenes before that, being like, mm-hmm. we cannot bring this to the council because then the government will find out. And if the government finds out, the Senate finds out, we're in big trouble. This is the hiding of it. It's what we said all along. They're covering it up. They don't want people to know.
I love it.
And now it's interesting because, and confirmed, I didn't confirm this until right before we went live, that is Ki-Adi-Mundi in that scene.
Yeah.
He's in that room.
He's in that room, which is fantastic. And he's like, they haven't seen the Sith in a millennia.
Ki-Adi-Mundi-san. Ki-Adi-Mundi-san, it's been a millennia.
So it's
you guys are dumb.
It's a cover-up. The Jedi do not want this getting out. They don't want powder. Again, we said this when the show first announced the title of it. Tim and I were speculating that, you know, either this was going to be a Padawan that left and was looking for stuff. But even if so, the idea that the Sith hasn't been seen in a millennia, they need to keep that in place.
Otherwise, other
jaded Padawans are going to be like, well, you know, if there's Sith out there, maybe I can find them and then I can make myself more powerful. Of course, they're going to keep it a secret.
Why would they? And they don't want the Republic to know that they could possibly be challenged or be weak.
Right.
Oh.
Right. It completely then makes them, or in their eyes, it makes them feel irrelevant to the Republic.
Exactly. Why would they want us to keep, you know, to stay around and be the protectors when we can't even protect ourselves?
So that includes funding, that includes relationships, that includes, I'm sure, favors, all sorts of stuff, perpetuating mm-hmm. the idea that at this point, when we meet the Jedi in the Skywalker saga, they're at their lowest at that point. They're actually at their worst.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we meet them in this, they still have that religious stick up their assholes. And they're all like, look at us, we're peacocks, we're better than it. Well, we need to protect this. It completely mirrors things that happen in real life for hundreds and thousands of years.
Most definitely.
With the church and religions.
Look at the Catholic Church.
It completely mirrors it. And if you cannot understand that and you want to be mad about that, by all means, go off on being mad. But
you do, you
these
can.
Are these are facts. This is in the show. And that was one of the Easter eggs as well, the Jedi Council being unaware. So theoretically, Ki-Adi-Mundi knows, and he's sitting on that council, right?
And so does brain farting.
Potentially Plo Koon.
Is that Plo Koon? Like, because they only showed him for just like two little shots, and, like, that was it.
Ki-Adi-Mundi was confirmed in the credits, so we know that's him. Plo Koon was not. But that could be a young Plo Koon with them, so that would mean that he knows.
Yeah, because like they wrote it down as just like Jedi Knight.
Yep. You know who else knows in that room? I think when they have that conversation. No, this is before he sees Darth Bane and goes to Corbin. So Yoda probably doesn't know at this point.
Oh.
In episode one when they're having the conversation about Maul.
Yeah. I mean, like, how would he not know?
But let's level for a second.
He totally knows.
Yoda keeps secrets.
Oh, yeah, of course he does.
There is a lot of years that little green guy has been alive and he has seen some shit. If you look at Legends, he toyed with the dark side. We don't know what the canon version of that will be. There is a canon aspect to it because of what happens in Clone Wars when his dark side manifests itself.
Kevin loves that scene so much.
Oh my God, so scary. But point being, I'm like 90% sure Yoda knows too. So that's three of those 12 members on the council, at least, know that they exist. Would not shock me if Mace knew. So all of a sudden, even if it does get to the top, everyone knows the political ramifications that will take place. Someone did say that like Jedis aren't politicians or something on social media. I understand that, and they're not, and they pride themselves on not being politicians. That doesn't mean politics don't affect them and that they have to play the political games to get the things that they need and to get to make their ends meet.
Could we just bring up the Clone Wars?
They weren't supposed to be soldiers either.
Could we just bring up the Clone Wars? Look how fast they were just be like, we'll be generals, sure. We'll just run your military for you. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Of course politics play into this. That's politics. If they were peacekeepers, they would be like, sorry, we must abstain. We'll keep the peace. We'll look around, but that's your fight, sir.
You know who wouldn't like that comment, Tim?
Oh, boy.
George Lucas. Because if anyone wanted Star Wars to be political, it was George Lucas.
No, but it is political. Very political.
I'm just saying.
I'm also just saying that if you don't think that the Jedi aren't political, then you're lying to yourself.
They
There's a lot of
the
political
game
there, dude.
And they play the game. I mean, they. How else would Yoda have
also,
built...
Also, who's the High Council?
It's the Council. It's the
same
Council.
Is it
council.
The Council?
Yeah.
So we've got... Okay, so this is also really interesting. We're seeing a different tiered system in the Jedi Order right now, then. Because you've got these Master Jedi... That are running the show, but then there's also the Council that is in previous versions of Star Wars. They were the ones that were running the show, but right now Venestra doesn't even want to bring this to the Council because they know that the Council will then have to go again. The Council has to bring it up to the Senate.
So just so you, this is the hierarchy. There is the High Council, which is the 12. I'm sorry,
sitting,
nine. Nine masters and three grandmasters, as per the High Republic,
that are sitting on the council.
Right. There is, you can still be a master and not sit on the council.
Right.
So that exists. So Vernestra Rowe is a master.
But she doesn't sit on the council?
She does not sit on the council, and she
right.
does not want to tell the council.
But like, but in other versions of Star Wars, any bullshit that was going on, they went right to the council to tell them.
That we've seen.
Right, but that's the whole thing. It's a different vibe. Like, the way that we've seen how these Jedi are operating, very, very different from how Jedi have operated in Star Wars medium in the past. And mm-hmm. so, like, I find that also to be very interesting. Like, we are seeing more tiers to the hierarchy, which I think is really neat.
Now, I will say that in the Old Republic, the games, or I should say the MMO specifically, the Sith Council... was hiding the disappearance of the Emperor. Like, they hadn't seen the Emperor in, like, 60 years.
Yeah.
But they were hiding it. They weren't saying anything. When the Jedi get wind of that,
mm-hmm.
they also don't say anything to the like, powers that be at the mm-hmm. time. Because there's this whole storyline where, you know, you end up meeting the Emperor if you play Jedi Knight. You meet him at the end, who is voiced by the guy who played Hellraiser, to give you... some serious awesome lore, but they like both sides are hiding it because there is a power balance at stake here.
Uh-huh.
And if the Emperor's missing and no one sensed his death, what is he doing? That's kind of the idea. So there's a huge worry on both sides that the Emperor's up to something and nobody knows what it is. Point being, the idea that the Jedi Council is ignorant to things uh-huh. or sweeps things under the rug, I don't think is unheard of. In Star Wars movies, for the most part, I think it's like everyone runs to the council and tells them. Everyone runs to the council and tells them. But Obi-Wan never told the council about Anakin and Padme. He knew.
Right.
He kept that a secret.
Yeah.
I feel like Yoda knew that, too. He didn't tell the rest of the council.
I mean, like, everybody, I think everybody knew. they weren't doing a good job of hiding it.
Mace is like, that boy needs to keep it in his pants. I did my best Mark Thompson doing Mace Windu impression.
You should. He's a little more Lando.
Han,
old buddy.
So, again, the idea... I love that this show is exposing the corruption within the Jedi ranks. And I know when we were kids, we were raised light, dark, good, evil. I think as adults, it's really fun to enjoy the dynamic of real world corruption making its way into. We've seen it in the Senate. We know it's there. That's yeah. not new. Obviously, the Sith will stab each other for power at any point, but that's who they are. There's nothing. Honestly, they're upfront about it. They're more honest about it. Like, at any moment, your apprentice could stab you in the back if they feel that they have achieved the rank of Sith Lord, Master, whatever they want to be called. With this, there's this whole game that needs to be played. And it's wonderful to watch it being played out. I do find it interesting that now, Tim, at this point, I feel like we've seen most, if not all, of the clips from the trailers.
Yes, because the initiation of the fight in the jungle was the last scene that I was like, okay, like this was in the trailer. So this is everything that everyone saw like in the premiere, right? Everyone was shown up to, or the group of 10 that was invited out there, like they saw up to episode 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now everything else is like all unknown, which is cool. It's neat that we haven't like really seen the meat and the potatoes of Acolyte, in my opinion. Also, May flipping over like that was really interesting to me, which made
her sister's alive,
which made it like apparent that May and Osha they're pivotal to the story, but in a different sense. It's not going to be about, I think this is a sleight of hand. I think this was a whole like smoke and mirrors trick to try to get you like interested in the Acolyte with this whole like, we've got this person who's killing Jedi, but there's so much more to it. I think it's all smoke and mirrors.
And Vernestra said it. She said, I feel a shift in the Force and I cannot see what's going to happen next.
Uh-huh.
Sounds so familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who else clouded the minds of the Jedi? Ooh. Uh-huh. George Lucas, straight quote from him, and I'm pretty sure this is where the inspiration from this came from. This is specifically about Sith. I was reading through, this is from Reddit, old Star Wars interviews, and read this from a George Lucas interview regarding Sith Masters. The character is usually a frog or wizened old man on the side of the road. The hero is going down the road and meets his poor, insignificant person. The goal or lesson is for the hero to learn to respect everybody and to pay attention to the poorest person, because that's where the key to his success will be. This was the quote that everyone used to justify the dark Jar Jar theory originally.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's what you're saying. It's the sleight of hand. Mm-hmm. Khmer seems to be a bumbling and unassuming character who appears poor with mm-hmm. a shop next to the road, similar to Yoda.
Yeah.
He is mysterious even to May, but knowledgeable of the whereabouts of all the Jedi Masters she's hunting.
Uh-huh.
He speaks the first line of the Sith code when he's in the shop with her and constantly gives her Sith-like advice, like mm-hmm. everyone has a weakness. He makes the poison cocktail, which Sith are very adept to, because mm-hmm. The ancient Sith, instead of lightsabers, used to coat their blades in poison.
Oh, sure.
He makes the poison cocktail and is able to hold his own against the Jedi killing May.
Yeah.
And then this was interesting. If you go to Greek mythology, the Chimera, Khmer, is a mythical beast that can breathe fire. It looks like a lion with a goat's head protruding from its back. In other depiction, it also has a snake's head.
Ooh.
The name implies deception and also strength, evil, and danger. Some other names from the show. Sol is sun in Latin.
Yep.
Jekyll Lawn can be equated to Luna, moon in Latin.
Okay.
Yord Fondar. Yord is earth in Old Norse. May, Mestitia is dull, gloominess, sadness, sorrow, and grief in Latin.
Oh, I like that.
Osha is Usha, which is bright dawn, shining, burning in Old Sanskrit. Torbjorn, which is Porbjorn in Norse, means thunder bear. Where was the other one? Invoking basically a ferocious fighter, scarring and him taking the Barish vow, consistent with the thunder bear mythology.
Yeah.
And then Khmer is sneaky and dangerous.
I like that. That's cool.
So just like in Ahsoka, when we had, what were their names? Balin, Skoll, and what was her name?
Oh, crap. Yeah, it was the two wolves that chased the moon. Balin and...
Shin Hati. Skoll and Hati. Skoll and Hati were the two wolves from North mythology that chased the sun and the moon. So just like that, I mean, read into it, because this is not on purpose. This is not
everything's done with reason, dude. People keep on asking me, like, for the last week, people have come into chat, like, Tim, how do you feel about Acolyte? Like, what are your feelings about Acolyte? And I've constantly said, I don't know where the show is going. I have mixed feelings about it. There's a lot of things that are getting thrown at us, but I trust Dave Filoni. Like, Dave has time and time again proved that if you just let it ride, you let him cook, and you kind of just enjoy the ride for what it's worth, we'll end up in a really good place.
People, when you give that response, people knee-jerk reaction. Well, I should say the hater knee-jerk reaction is to say things like, Dave's not in charge of this project. Ahsoka's Dave's project.
But he's the overarching mastermind when it comes to the future of Star Wars.
You don't get to make a show unless Dave and Kathleen sign off on it. And I know people don't like Kathleen. I'm not Kathleen's biggest fan. I think she's had some massive fumbles along the way. But you don't get to make a show unless they sign off on it. Kathleen gets to sign off on it from a production and financial standpoint. Dave gets to sign off on the story. I think your initial pitch goes to Kathleen, and then Dave is the one that you have to like sell it to based on lore. And I'm sure he comes in and makes changes and whatnot to make sure there's continuity. Dave is George Lucas's protege. George Lucas, once again, he has no creative control. He is a creative consultant for Lucasfilm.
Right.
They will go to him and ask things. I'm sure Dave's got him on text and speed dial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, George, how would you do this? I mean, I'm not even saying it as a joke. Like, that's his mentor. That's the person that taught him everything and that handed him his legacy.
Right.
You don't think Dave texts him and says, how do you feel about this? You know, what do we think about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say one thing about George. He does not give a shit about people's opinions. He wouldn't have made Star Wars if he gave a shit about people's opinions originally. Yeah. He does not give a damn. He made it. He has no. I have crapped on the man numerous times for being like when he's unchecked, meaning he has no one in the room telling him no or yes.
Mm-hmm.
We get some bad movies, but he still made Episode 3 on his own. And I think Episode 3 is one of the best movies in the franchise. So is what it is. You can say what you want, do what you want. Again, I'll repeat myself ad nauseum. Just don't shit on other people if they're liking it. Like, that's my line.
Yeah.
That's it. It's very simple.
That's like, fair.
Just don't. I'm totally fine if you don't like the show. I really am. It's not my favorite show at all.
No, it's definitely not my favorite. But I've enjoyed the ride so far.
I've enjoyed the ride so far. Now I'm massively intrigued because everything that we knew and predicted will be gone by the halfway through next episode, in my opinion.
Yep.
Which means the next 3.5 episodes, I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting to me. It's not Andor. I remember 2 episodes in with Andor, Tim and I were like, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
I mean, like the witches are definitely involved. Like Kelnaka in his den had the same marking that Mei has on her face and what their mom had on her face. So like there's definitely more to that part of the story arc. So, but like there's a reason why, like, why was Kelnaka in there in that place with those markings that tied up with the witches on a different planet? I'm really intrigued by that. There's got to be more to that story.
Kelnaka's
and again,
also,
they also said stationed. So we know for a fact that those Jedi, the 4 of them, were there for a reason. They weren't just like, they didn't just show up.
So Kelnaka also doesn't appear on the ship at the end of last episode.
Are you sure?
I don't think he's in the background at all. He could be driving the ship. He could be elsewhere in the ship, but in the background, he's not seen on the ship at the very, it's very quick at the end.
Yeah.
Like when they show her wake up, it's very quick.
Huh?
So I don't, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember reading that this week that Kelnaka is not seen on the ship. Which could lead to why. I was getting heavy, if you're a Coder fan, Jolie Bindo vibes from Kelnaka. Like, I'm sick of all of you. I'm going to live out in the wilderness. I'm going to live off the land. Go away. Type kinda of vibes.
Hermit, yeah.
And maybe this is that, but he still wanted to remain part of the Order. So he was, I'm using air quotes, stationed on a remote planet that had virtually no life.
Yeah.
Well, intelligent life, I should say, because those bugs were...
Oh my gosh, those moths were terrifying.
That was awesome.
I'm really glad that she didn't touch another one. Oh my God.
I thought we were getting a swarm of them.
Yeah, yeah. But if they would have died. There's no way.
They still have to leave, especially if they were attracted to the light. They'd ignite their lightsabers and...
Oh, what if they come out at night? Oh, they're screwed. Oh my God.
That's when moths wake up, Tim.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll see. And there's bunch of lights in the forest all of a sudden. So can we talk about, we won't say Gamir, Darth Teeth and the absolute strength he possessed.
Yeah, he just moves his two fingers. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why didn't he just snap her neck?
Because he probably needs them for something.
We'll see.
Or he's being terrifying and playing with his food.
Oh, that's a bad idea. But it's going to be one guy versus how many Jedi was that? At least 10.
6 or 7.
You think it was, yeah, okay, so a little less than 10, but more than 5. That's a lot.
So you got to remember something, too, about the Sith and the Jedi in this situation. The Jedi have trained against each other. They showed that scene of Jekki training on purpose.
Yes, of course.
That was so purposeful for what was to come. She's also using a Bakken, which is the training stick that the Jedi use in other mediums. But they showed her training because it's like the very like, oh, okay, block, yes, use all your defenses, but don't attack. And you know, they're like lofty little training. You got Yord, who thinks he's this like, I'm like, you know,
you need
this
to hand over that gun, civilian
Jedi Knight.
You're such a douche.
My man's about to be humbled. He might die getting humbled, but he's about to be humbled. And then you have a Sith that is obviously taught. Again, I'm going out on a limb, taught by his master because I don't believe he's the master. Who just flings them? They don't know how to fight a Sith.
No, not a freaking clue.
Sith fight dirty. They have different force powers. They can tap into different things, as we saw when he just levitated to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like a spar in the Jedi Temple.
No, they're going to get their asses kicked. There's no way. A lot of them are going to die. All the no-name Jedi that went along for the ride, they are the red shirts of this episode, and those guys are going to die. There's no way they don't come out unscathed.
If the Keldor dies, we know it's not Plo Koon then, at least.
Sure.
We can cross that off the list.
But if he gets decapitated, either two things. Plo Koon can't die, or that wasn't him.
Hey, I would be down with the Plo Koon can't die theory. He's Plo Koon.
He's been out in space, dude. Come on.
He's Plo Koon. Like, come on. He was almost the Jedi on the so close. In the Mandalorian.
So close.
Luke was it. I'm okay with that. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, like, they're about to get their asses handed to them and then some. Like you said, all the no-name Jedi are dying.
If they don't, I'm going to be disappointed. I need a little bit. I need some Jedi slaughter.
So the only three that will probably make it out of this, obviously, because they're tied so heavily to the show, are Jekki, Yord,
and Sol.
Sol out of the Jedi. I'm sure Mei and Oshi will, or Mei will get killed and Oshi will be left.
No, I think those two, they again,
plot armor,
they're a dyad. They're tied together by the threads. You know, their mother, I'm sure, has more to tie into the whole story. There's more to this. So I do not see Osha or Mei dying. Those two are bonded together for specific reasons, plot armor. So I don't see them going. I think what's going to happen is either the Jedi overpower the Sith. It's a great fight, but he kind of like, you know, gets his ass kicked at the end and he runs off like the Sith normally do. Right. Most of our Sith apprentice usually run off at the very end. Like they, you know, it's a good fight, but then they get their asses kicked and they run off and go back to their master to tell them what happened. So that's what I see happening in episode 5 is that there'll be some slaughter. They'll kind of like lick their wounds. They'll kick his ass at the end. They'll all like team together, like Mei and Osha, and all the Jedi are going to like fight him or like use their force powers, the power of many, right? Boom. He's going to run off and the bugs are going to come and like, and you know, that's going to, that whole part's going to show up.
I think he's going to use the bugs while he's
something with the bugs. It's going to be, the bugs are going to show up. He's going to run off to go back to his master to tell them what's going on and like tell them that everyone's dead except for Sol. And then we'll pick up from there. I think that's how episode 5 is going to go.
Do you think they'll do it like horror movie Sith style where it's like Force Scream and he's like all over the place and they can't find him? Kind of like Batman in The Dark Knight.
Kind of. I mean, like Mei did that too with the dust. Remember she like poof and then she like smoke bombed out.
But remember when Palpatine, because they showed this in the trailer and they didn't do this yet. They only showed the blowback. Palpatine, when he lunges at the Jedi in his office.
That scary.
Right, which they turn into an attack in the MMO.
It's also Palpatine does that attack in Battlefront too, where he goes spinning, that like force spin attack that he does, and that is there, terrifying, horrific.
So I'm assuming like you're gonna hear like roars and stuff as he's like going from Jedi to Jedi, and Master Soul is just gonna be like, wow. I think if they go toe to toe with Master Soul, like in a lightsaber duel, it'll be more even. But I don't think he's going to start off that. I think he's just going to like relentlessly murder the first few.
Yeah.
In front of them.
We haven't seen the Force Whip yet. That's the only scene in the trailer that we haven't.
Vernestra has it, and she's
right,
not there,
but she's not there. So that's the other scene that we haven't seen. But also, there is an interview with Leslie about how she was working with the props team. And how did you send me the video?
I might have.
There's an interview where she's talking about working with the prop scene and bringing a lightsaber to life. And she says it's not the Force. It's not the light whip. She says it's a different lightsaber. She said they said it couldn't be done. There's like lightsabers don't work like that. And they're like, let's just like work with me here. Let's see if we can make this work. And like essentially like she's like, this is like the lightsaber of my dreams. I've always wanted to see this like come to life. And we don't know what it is, but apparently there's some like new special lightsaber coming out that could blow your minds. I don't know. I'm pretty excited to see it, but we haven't seen that yet either. So she kind of like hinted towards that. So I don't know when that's going to pop up.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be like the, what was the fake one with Rey where it was like the 100 blades.
Oh, the Swiss Army knife where she flips it out. Yeah. That was a good meme. That was solid. Do you imagine? It's got the freaking can opener. It's got the bottle opener. It's got the nail clipper on it.
Yeah, I was texting with our friend yesterday who had said like after episode 4, I hope you're like hooked.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely intrigued.
I texted them immediately and I said, "Oh my gosh, the wrist flick." He got me with that. So, I mean, I'm interested. Yeah. And the episode was going so slow and I'm like, we're running out of time. And then I felt the builds and I was like, oh, the anticipation. And then the sun was going down the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
It kind of like the pacing kind of followed the sun, if you will. Is that once the sun went down, it was just shit hit the fan real quick. Yep.
Yeah. So I think he's going to.
I was really surprised that Kelnaka was dead. I was like, damn, that's going to be the one guy that's not going to get axed and we get to hang out with him for a little bit. Nope.
Well, we're not done with the flashbacks.
No, we're definitely not done with the flashbacks. Like, just like, what's her face? Trinity.
Master Indara.
Indara is definitely going to show up a few more times. We still have, there's a lot more to learn about their past, which I think is hopeful. At least I hope that's what we see. Fingers crossed.
All right.
There it is.
Well,
episode 4 was solid. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. And if you don't like it, that's totally fine. That's cool. It's not for you.
Just don't go after people who do. It's pretty simple.
You know what? And just like go back and watch, you know, the original trilogy. You know, it's on Disney Plus. Go check it out.
The Boys season 4 is out.
Yeah.
House
of Dragons out. Game of Thrones is back, baby. Like lots of things to do. Go play Destiny. You know, go play Tarkov. Go hit yourself for a little bit. You know, there's lots of things to go do.
Play Star Wars Hunters on your iPad.
Anta.
Tick.
Houtini.
Well, thank you for checking out episode 175 of Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you. Tim is live Monday through Friday and some Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/darkness429, youtube.com/darkness429, and darkness429 on TikTok.
True.
And he's darkness429 everywhere on the interwebs.
How's Destiny going, Kevin?
I haven't played since Sunday. I still haven't finished the full story. I finished the legendary campaign.
Yeah.
I got to do the stuff to get to the final mission.
Gotcha.
But I haven't had time to play because it's been a week. It's been a week. Tim knows why it's been a week, but it's been a week.
It's going to be great.
I'm not wearing a polo for nothing.
It's going to be awesome, Kevin.
So you can check me out. KMagic101, Kevin X Vision on Twitter. And you can head over to Twitch. I'll probably stream at some point. No, I won't because I'm out of town.
He's out of town, but you can also head on over to gcxevent.com, get your tickets, all right?
Do it.
Come hang out with me and Kevin and Ben and Ben Lupo and Goth and so many other people, dude. There's lots of people. Action Jackson's coming. Ames is going to be there. Paul. It's going to be a good time. So head on over there, get your tickets. All right. We have lots of announcements coming. You are going to be very excited.
GCXEvent.com, KingsCoastCoffee.com. Thank you for rate, reviewing, and subscribing on Star Wars and Scotch. Feel free to keep commenting. Even if you say, I look like Tom Segura, I'm wearing a Tom Segura mask, that made me laugh so hard. I completely accept that I look like... I can't unsee it either. I look in the mirror every day. How do you think I feel? But that made me laugh really hard. So thank you for that comment. Even though you were trying to be a trolley asshole, you made me laugh. Really so
nice.
Appreciate the good laugh. You all have a great one. We'll be back next week for episode 5 of Acolyte, episode 176 of Star Wars and Scotch. Tim?
May the Force be with you, friends.
Always.
Oh, no, wait. What did the High Republic Jedi say? For light and life.
Nah, they're jerks.
Oh.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.